it is not a shred of evidence that the government has produced in order to justify the case. And they threw it out completely. When they threw that out, they immediately brought another charge against me, keep me in. So the detention order was cancelled, so I had to come out the next day. They immediately framed another charge against me because anti-state activities. All the same concocted charges, same, but another case of that kept me back again. Another 2 months I had to stay in there, then a barrister again, fought the case, and finally I got bail, and I'm out presently on bail. So what actually I'm trying to say is, that because that the present stock of people, even the intellectuals, they came from maktabs. From the maktab, we say, the mullahs taught them. So that the Islam which they gained from the maktab, that is so deep ingrained that all the fiqh and the fujur also can't eliminate that iman. Intellectually they will remain fundamentalists. And what I'm trying to say, the iman will stay intact. So that is what they understand. This kuffar understand, the Americans also understand. Even though the South African High Commissioner came to see me also there, then he asked when I told him about 400 murder, he got a shock. He said, 400 murder in the country. They just got, so it conveys to them the impression that there is some network of terrorism taking place. It's not possible. So he said, how long it took you to escape? I said, 2 years time. That thing. So I could see there from the talk, they're not satisfied, but they can't find any evidence. In fact, on the 20th day, when they, you know, after they completed now the interrogation, now they sent me to the jail. Now from their cell, they sent me after they had to send me now to the jail. There, but about 1 o'clock in the night, a dozen of them all. I'm sitting in the center. They had me there, and I could see that they are tired now. They couldn't make headway. The thing with me, questions which they asked me 20 days ago when they asked me, now, immediately I give them the same answer. Alhamdulillah, Allah's fazl, karam, so much, that their mind is always alert. They could never at any stage call me in any question, because there's nothing, everything what I was saying was the haq, the thing. I was telling them that thing. So finally, they sit there and they're speaking among themselves. And I'm sitting there, they're speaking their language. There is a network here. Oh, big network, but they can't put a thing on this kind of thing. And then with one, he said, they asked me a question. They asked me a question, and I responded, give a question which they asked me 20 days ago. I mean, when they get the answer, they always burst out laughing. They say, after they say to themselves, you are still alert. The other man, another officer telling this man is extraordinarily clever. They just couldn't make any headway in that thing. And finally the thing, then they took me to the cell. Now the Americans also, after they complete with me, they say, well, you say, but we still feel that there's a lot of information which you are withholding. If you can, while I'm leaving them, all they say, if you can assist us, we will assist the other. I said, there's no other information, absolutely no information. And same way, but now while they were questioning me, I was saying that they are jittery, scared people. While they are questioning me, they ask about the maktabs. And I tell them, the maktabs, on each maktab is what they file. And about 500 files were. And the CID have confiscated all those files. You get the files from there, and you study, and you find, you get all the details from the beginning, from the day we started until today. You get find the full report on each maktab, the location of the maktab, how many children there are, and who's in charge of the maktab. Everything, all the records are there. Say, I say about five. He was about 500 files. Yes, but what type of files he has? I explained to him. If you stack these files up, yeah, how many files will it be? So in order, it was a low table, and in order to explain now to him, if we stack up the files, it will be so high. I got up. And when I got up, he jumped up. And they perfect. They, I don't know what went through their minds. See, they got that idea in their mind that every fundamentalist is a suicide bomber. Every fundamentalist must be that. They got a preconceived idea in their mind. So for every person who's got a beard and got a kurta and appears in their opinion is a fundamentalist, he's a suicide terrorist. So they got a jump back. He tells me that if you want to get that, you must at least tell us. So I tell him, you made me feel so much at home here. So I didn't think I'm in jail here. You made me feel at home, and I got up to explain to him. He said, no, we are very glad that you are feeling at home here. But what? He said, the officer, you know, the Bangladesh officer sitting in another room, if they see you walking around here, they will think we are too friendly. That's what happened with me. The next day, they brought another colleague of mine. Now, before they search you first, if you haven't got anything on you. But now, the other colleague, he had a small mitzvah in the back pocket. So when his hand fell on that was electric shock for him. He back completely, you may remember, 10 meters back to him, completely ran back. He got a shock when his hand fell on the mitzvah. Now is that so? But they had it, the Bengali officer was there to translate for that. He only could speak Bengali language. So then they told him he must just see what's in the pocket. So the Bengali officer came. He took out the mirror and he started laughing. So my boy, you know what? He's looking at it. He says, "Oh, they clean their teeth with this." So then they said, "Very small, anything can come back." So what I said, they are very scared. They are even scared of a miswak. So Allah Ta'ala has put hawk into the heart. If we come back properly on the deen, properly on the following the Bishra Sunnah properly, even that miswak Sunnah, it will really the thing wipe these people out. Allah Ta'ala's nusra, the heavy will be with us. And now from there, they left me the thing, and then after that thing, after the 20 days now, then they had to send us to the prison. Now the jail. The jail in itself, that is a different bayan. He said, you are in a different planet there. Even if someone writes stories about the jail there in Dhaka, what's there, you can't answer. You must stay there, you must live there to understand and to appreciate what is actually happening and what is taking place there in the jail. And now there's another chapter, I think. But coming here back to our the thing, to my story here, is the hasad and the bughs, which were in our own people, and these were learned people, that led to this. But there was a lot of goodness that came out of it also. A lot of goodness came out of it. The work of the deen is carrying on. And it's not only in Bangladesh, in many other Muslim countries. There's an urgent and a dire need to put up Muslim. We have started in Indonesia. I first went to Indonesia and then I went to Bangladesh, Nepal. In Nepal we opened, I stayed a few days, we opened 7 maktabs there. And in Indonesia about 40, I think. We have that. But Indonesia is a place which requires thousands of maktabs. To save the Ummah, they require thousands of maktabs. And in Bangladesh, the same thing. The plan is to wipe out Islam, and it will become like places like Bosnia, Bangladesh. People don't understand what is taking place there. We only hear about the floods taking place, we're collecting money, and we're giving the money and sending the money over there to distribute amongst the flood victims, and it's not getting properly distributed also the money. That's about all we are doing. But what exactly is taking place in that country, that no one knows. And you will only know it if you stay in Bangladesh, like I have stayed in Bangladesh. Otherwise it's not possible to know what is taking place, because if you go there, you are hosted by an organization. You take it from there, you go to the masjid, you perform in the mall, you see this, you see that, and then after a few days you come back home. You don't know what is happening there. Head or tail, what's taking place. You just hear what the people are telling you there. But if you travel, you stay with the people, and mix with the people there, and see what exactly is happening, then in the next generation or two, Islam will be wiped out in that place. As I said, there is no real Islam anywhere in that country besides the Tabligh Jamaat and the Ahl Madaris in the madrasas. Now if this institution, if the madrasas also have to close down, the madrasas are exceptionally poor in poor conditions, then the same thing, the same faith which has overtaken the Ummah in this say like Bosnia and the previous USSR states there, Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan, etc., the same fate will overtake Bangladesh. It will soon come. And besides it, they have got the present government is a very strongly pro-Hindu, pro-India government. It's a vessel, Bangladesh has become a vessel state for India. They are trying, the Prime Minister of Bangladesh, the other day also, she was in the mandir. There's a big puja holiday there for the Hindus. So she participates in that, went into the mandir also. So there's a big conspiracy there to wipe out Islam. And in that respect, every Muslim can play a role. Every person can play a role there in trying to save the deen there. Allah Ta'ala is the one who will save the deen. It's not our efforts. It's not our efforts, but we have to be conscious. We must do what the little we can do, and Allah Ta'ala will do the rest. And say that there in the 600 maktabs we have presently there are about now 60,000 children. And Alhamdulillah, I think I can say with confidence that there's no institution in the world where 6 million times Durood Sharif is recited every day. Every day. For every child in our maktab is required to recite 100 times Durood Sharif under supervision with the ustad, sitting together before the maktab closes. And in the 60,000 children, 6 million times Durood Sharif is daily being recited there. And these maktabs, they are situated in such places where there never was a maktab or any Islamic talim since the time the village was established there. These villages were established by the missionaries. In such we are presently operating in such villages. And there are 1500 such villages where there's absolutely no din talim, only the missionary type of talim there. No din talim, children don't know what's alif, what is ba, what is wuzu, what is salat, nothing, no masjid, nothing there. Now, alhamdulillah, in half of those villages over the last 2 years, alhamdulillah, they think the children are performing the mass, many of them have completed the Quran, they are going to other madrasas also now. And when they are in the jail now, alhamdulillah, in the jail also we established some maktabs. At least 300 prisoners, we started from the Qaeda, from Alif Ba, and they are presently in the Quran. At least 300 prisoners, and then we knew that I wanted this sooner or later I will be leaving. So some of the long time prisoners, we taught them, made them, gave them a crash course, made them ustads to continue the maktabs after we leave. So alhamdulillah, the maktabs are still functioning there in prisoners. Then some of Bangladesh's, there's one, top terrorist of Bangladesh is a Christian. The woman who was speaking about in parliament mentioned his name also, that this terrorist, and the courts are the woman was criticizing the courts, the high court, for granting bail and letting the terrorist out. This is top terrorist, he's a Christian. He came to me also there in the jail. He told me he saw Rasulullah in his dreams. Christian. He was, and in his heart he has accepted Islam, but he wants formally accept Islam and even the time. So he will come to them and sit there and take talim from us. Other big gangsters also from Bangladesh, they would come there very humbly. Don't say that people are gangsters from the either from the looks and from the way they speak. They are so humble, they come, they hold my feet and make salam. I'll stop them. This is the trick of Islam. So Christian man, British Islam, this gangster, he's 6 years in jail. He's not convicted yet for any crime, but every time he gets bail, and the moment he just steps out of the jail, they rearrest him. How they do it? The jail has a very big gate, bigger than this gate, and in that big gate is a small gate. So when he has to be released, they back up the truck behind the small gate. So as he comes out, they load it back into the truck. So, and then they bring him in. For 6 years, he's carrying on. So when I was there, I wrote him out the towels. they put it on near the towns. So now again was granted base, the High Court granted base, they must release him. Now the system is there when they call the names of the release prisoners, they stand in a row. And as they call a name and they go, you collect your thing and you go out by the gate. So you are standing maybe in the middle of the road this time. So before they called his name, while one other prisoner was leaving, he ran and he got through the, and the police all behind him, outside and inside, and through the alleyway they go in, until the village didn't get in. He killed the prisoner several times. I myself was sleeping different, even now, different places, because they are so unpredictable. They arrest you for, it's a sport there in Bangladesh to arrest a person for no reason whatsoever, absolutely no reason. There are people in a jail there who have spent 20 years of their life, they are not convicted, no crime, they haven't been sentenced, but they are just in a jail there. They have been arrested for something, they are poor, there's no one to represent them outside, no attorney for them. So they leave them in jail like that. Not one, not two, dozens of them are laid. And they become old also, and they spend their lives there. Children are born in a jail. Children are born in a jail, and then when they are 5, 6 years, they are separated from the mothers and put with other children. It's the entire society is criminalized there. And corruption and bribery is institutionalized there in Bangladesh. So even people in the prison also, they gained, he died. There was no need for any regrets. I had at no stage any regret or any fear or any panic or any frustration. There was no need. So our daily work was carrying on. Wherever you are, wherever a person of who has heart in him, wherever you can be, in any situation, the work will carry on. Now here in a remand cell, that was the time, you can say the fearful time. Why? Thought is always overhanging every minute of the day. Now the fellows of whom they arrested what us, I tell you, it was, I was very grateful to Allah Ta'ala for me also being there, at least. I was there. And what happens, most people I see, they just break down. The fear is so overwhelming, that strong people also, they break down and they cry like babies also, and they break, their feet become like rubber. So much is the fear of the torture. We all know, well, as I have recited ayat also, Allah Ta'ala says that everything comes from Allah Ta'ala, harm, good or harm, no one can do anything to you. But it is necessary to develop it so it gets into our hearts. Otherwise, what will happen in a given situation, your mind won't be even on that. The fear will be so much there. And Allah Ta'ala, one small prescription in the Quran for gaining that attitude. Firstly, is what you have to gain taqwa. If there's no taqwa, then the beliefs become meaningless. Like we all believe that we are going to die. We believe in the Qiyamah. We believe in our mort also. But these beliefs are very remote. A man is 60 and 70 years of age. He is one leg is in the qabr, but he's still displeasing Allah Ta'ala. You know, at any time mort will come, but it still seems that he's going to live long, mort very far. Because why? He lacks taqwa. As long as taqwa is not inculcated, the aqaid or the beliefs won't become an attribute, won't become what's called a state, an emotional state. We must try to make taqwa an emotional state in our heart. Allah Ta'ala, short prescription which Allah Ta'ala giving the Quran says, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu taqullaha. First, you say, oh, people of Iman, have taqwa, fear Allah Ta'ala. Then Allah Ta'ala, after that, He gives you a way, a simple way, how you must gain taqwa. Usually, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu taqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida. Allah says, and speak a righteous statement. Your talk must be correct. What you speak must be sadid. It must be a good statement. Whatever you speak, it must be, there must be haq in it. There must not be any, when you speak, you must not be motivated by malice or by vengeance or by any evil nafsani motive. Speak what is right. Then what will happen? Now, you do this thing, Allah Ta'ala says here. in order to refer to adopt taqwa. And for the taqwa, this is the prescription, that you take control of your tongue. Control your tongue and speak what is right. What, don't speak when you're in a state of anger, but then you are going to speak what is wrong. You always speak what the left tells you. Control your tongue. And then when you will control your tongue, then one another, yuslih lakum a'malakum. Then Allah Ta'ala, then He will rectify for you, He will reform your a'mal, your other a'mal. Now here Allah Ta'ala does not give you a promise that you won't do wrong and all your a'mal will be 100% now, right? So then it'll defeat the purpose of life on earth. Allah Ta'ala is not making us into robots like the malaika. No, but what will happen? Allah Ta'ala will keep us on the track. On the whole, you will be on the right track. And when you even do something wrong, immediately the realization will dawn into you. You will make rujoo to Him, you will make tawbah, and you will come back again on the track. Say, yuslih lakum a'malakum. You will reform and rectify your a'mal. Wayaghfir lakum dhunubakum. And then the sin which you commit along the line, in that process, wayaghfir lakum dhunubakum. He will forgive you of those sins. So we have to inculcate taqwa. And taqwa, you have to follow the Sharia, to follow the Ittiba Sunnah. If you follow the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then this taqwa will come into the heart. And then when taqwa is in the heart, then Allah Ta'ala's remembrance will always be there. The yaqeen will become stronger and stronger. So when you come into any such a situation or fearful situation, then inshallah, even if there is a natural fear also, your intelligence won't panic. Your intelligence will function correctly. So in such a situation, alhamdulillah, I was glad this, from this aspect also, respect, that the other colleagues who were with me, I could only encourage them, shout them, threaten them also, then what type of you did to me, and then I had to start the process of zikr jahri, loud zikr, in all the cells, loud all of them, in course, to give them, carry all of them together. From the one cell taking another cell taking up the zikr of la ilaha illallah, taking on thousands of times. So there was a lot of goodness in this, nothing in that thing, there's no regrets in it. In fact, it will in the future it will help the work also. Every person, every woman, he has that duty that they fulfill for the ummah, and not only for the food of the ummah, not only when there's a flood or something, not only the food, no, he has a greater duty to look after the spiritual food, sharu, the iman of those people, that we have our duty. And it's very, to operate, for example, to operate a madrasa here of 100 students, you require a big structure like this, you have to spend R1 million. But for there you still spend 5,000 for the whole year, and you've got the madrasa running for the whole year, 100 children. Look at that sawab jariya you have. So that is the thing, this maqtas, it's such a powerful force in Islam that all the kuffar, they fear it and they're trying to create obstacles to the path and trying to close it down. But inshallah ta'ala, they won't succeed. Amen. They won't succeed in this as long as they think, as our niyat, our motive is only for the akhirat, then inshallah ta'ala, the work will carry out and it will spread. Amen. And I think the work is not only for Bangladesh, it's for other places also. In the States also here, in places like Kazakhstan and Tajikistan, in places like Uzbekistan, you can't even open your mouth and speak, or then immediately you get locked up. But in places like Kazakhstan, these places, there's a wide scope for working, and I believe it's even cheaper to run a maktab in Kazakhstan than in Bangladesh. So we require some sincere brothers. If we have groups of two, three to take care of a country, we only require three, four to take care of a country. The entire world can be covered by a small jamaat of sincere, dedicated workers who should be prepared to be 24 hours in service of Allah, for Allah Ta'ala. While they're involved in their own affairs also, but they must be 24 hours on call, and where they can assist this khidmat of the deen. And the next generation should be prepared.
So what is the monthly bill in Bangladesh?
Operationally, just for Bangladesh is about a quarter million rand monthly. Yeah. Only in Bangladesh. So I said, but it says to operate a maktab, there is it costs 5,000 a year for the whole year, and you have 100 and some there's some 200 students in one. It's a hut, but the madrasa maktab is not the building; it's the ustad and the students. So I must express my shukr and to all the brothers who have made dua for me, because dua sustain me. Okay, I think when I hear of so many people making dua from all over the world, people don't even know us, they're making dua. So these are all signs in the case. Now Allah Ta'ala is always with us. All those duas, the time won't go wasted. And but as Allah Ta'ala, everything takes time. It doesn't happen according to our wishes. Musa al-Islam made a dua, and his dua was immediately accepted, but it materialized how many years? 40 years after this dua against Firon, 40 years after Allah Ta'ala eliminated Firon. So nothing happens according to our wishes and our desires. Everything is planned and pre-planned by Allah Ta'ala, and we have to be satisfied. If you can develop that attribute of sabr and shukr and rida, our life in this dunya and in the akhirah is assured. Wa'akhir da'wan and alhamdulillah. If anyone has any questions, you can ask them to us.
Can I inform you there is no administration course?
Yeah, alhamdulillah. In our system, in our organization, there's no
administration. Transport of tickets.
Oh yeah, that is it. We personally need it. Yeah.
All expenses would maktab premium contributes. Alhamdulillah, we've been with Molana, some other brothers also. From the food and everything, it's not to say that the money that you give will contribute. That money is used for there, you know, for our tickets, money is used for our hotels there, money is used. Alhamdulillah, we're very, when we went with Molana, all of us had to pay our own.
In fact, one of the grounds which they submitted in court, is the CID came in court for as a ground for arresting me, and they're trying to convince the court that this is a very important point to determine that this person is a terrorist. But they say, they tell the court, despite of him having a diamond mine, let's keep on it in South Africa. We find him sleeping in such a place on the floor and in a small room. In a small room in a remote place, finding that shows he's a terrorist. So the barrister counted it very nicely, having the barrister. He said, that means Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was a terrorist. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam slept that thing on the ground. He slept on the ground there, he slept on a brick was his pillow. He slept on a chatai, on a straw mat. The imprint of it was embossed on his body. So what is wrong? You must thank him. You must thank and praise him for sleeping like that. But instead of you arresting him for sleeping. they asked me that in the interrogation, why didn't you stay in the five-star hotel? When you got so much money, why didn't you stay in the five-star hotel? Why you stay there? That's why I said that I have no respect for the intelligence.
Any question?
Yeah.
Well, whatever you have said, I believe in it. Allah reward you for it.
Amen.
And, mashallah, whatever I can do, I will be pleased to and encourage people to make the best. But this statement about your message about the Taliban, you may be right 100%, but we have got information from Allah. It is not. I don't want to go into
it.
Yeah. I just said, you said
something. No, I said, we are in Afghanistan, so we've got about 20 maktabs there. And now so, we have 20 maktabs there, going there. And there are different views. I don't know what the source of their views are. But there are differences of opinion on different aspects. But I have formed my own views and my own opinions on this matter, and I have my own sources of information of in which way I ascertain something. And in spite of having discussed with the other ulama who have an opposite opinion, neither have they been able to convince me on it, nor have I been able to convince them on that. So everyone is entitled on this matter to his opinion. There's no need for enmity and animosity, and there's no need to come down to such levels where we become the enemies of others. We have to be broad-minded. This aspect is not a clear-cut issue where there's wahi on. Nothing to gain by making any statements which may appear to be anti-Taliban. At a time when no one in the world, none of the ulama, even in Pakistan, was supporting the Taliban, I was the first person, my majlis, I was the first person to write articles in strong favor of the Taliban. No one at that stage written. And at that stage, my information about Taliban was only from the Time magazine. Time magazine was writing about Taliban, criticizing the Taliban. But on what? On the Parda issue, TV issue. So from that, I inferred that those who are so strongly for Parda, so strongly against TV and enforcing Salat, etc., so they must be on the right path. So because of that, I started to write articles in favor of the Taliban. And then later on, there were certain developments and certain issues, certain things I would not like to mention here, but I don't know, I must tell you frankly, that the catalyst in my arrest were the ulama. So I cannot, certain things I cannot, what has transpired, also, I cannot make public here certain things. But the catalyst was the final, they couldn't arrest me on any issue with the kuffar or anyone else, on if they furnished them. But on certain information which the ulama fed them. Ulama fed them, on that basis they arrested me. Alright. So what I'm trying to say is, because of differences, there's no need to come down to that level. You have to accommodate. Everyone in the country, they know me to be a fanatic and a mad person, as far as my fundamentalism is concerned. That I can assure you also that the Taliban, in spite of whatever is right, the Taliban are not as fundamentalist as I am. That I can give you that 100% assurance on certain aspects of the thing of the Taliban, which I'm against. I'll tell them in the face, and meet them nicely, discuss with them also. So anyhow, when certain issues came to light, certain issues came to light, then I opposed those specific issues. Right? I am not opposing them because they are enforcing Salat, or because they are against TV, or because of the Parda. I understand, all my life I'm propagating those issues. But because of certain issues, I've been critical of them, and recently, those issues have disappeared now. Now the Americans and Pakistan have turned against them. So that is why I've become now a stronger supporter of them. But I still fear that there is a lot of treachery amongst them. I must tell you that amongst the Afghans there is a lot of treachery. There is a strong, they think, especially on the Osama issue, of betrayal. On it, because part of them are in favor of giving of sacrificing Osama. They are saying this, that why for one person the whole country should suffer. But alhamdulillah, still the Mullah Umar and his group, they don't want to give Osama over. But there are others seniors amongst them also, who are prepared to sacrifice him. They say, why should we let him for the whole country, one person? So, Trishri, there's a lot of Trishri going. Without any fakhr, without any pride, the undercurrent, I'm aware of it. I'm aware of it. My information is not second or third grade. I'm first in information on these issues. I've said that the fight in Kashmir is not a Shari'i jihad. I've said that because I was first in information on what is taking place. The whole operation is steered by the IS, Pakistan Intelligence Service, which is such an evil body, such an evil intelligence service, anti-Islam. I think they are behind it. I think they have formed these Mujahideen organizations there in Pakistan. The rank and file, they are sincere, but they don't know what is taking place. Who is steering them? Who is pulling the strings behind them? So I say the thing is, as far as Taliban is concerned also, especially when I was in Bangladesh also, after every salat, by name they are included in my dua. By name they are included in my dua. My heart felt the thing, dua and sentiments are all with them. But it does not mean that if something is wrong, that Amr bin Ma'ruf, Nahi an Munkar, it does not matter now from which quarters batil will emanate. That is not in my constitution to accept that and maintain silence on such issues. So we do Allah Ta'ala the thing, assist them, Allah Ta'ala, give them strength, the thing, and give them victory over the forces of Kufr.
And so at this moment in time, what is your status as far as Bangladesh is concerned? You're on bail or?
I'm out on bail. I'm on 3 months. They've given me 3 months permission to come because of court order, you know, allowing me 3 months to come here.
You're not being back or?
The High Commissioner, the South African Embassy is located in Delhi, India. They came twice. The first secretary and the second secretary, they came, and then on the second visit, the High Commissioner himself came with another secretary. When they came, they were very cooperative and they gave a very good hearing. But I do understand that there's nothing they could do because as far it was like a legal matter. So there's nothing really they could do to assist me besides giving me moral support. That thing. They couldn't, because it's a legal matter. And this is such a situation that the situation in Bangladesh is such that without framing any charges, merely on allegation, they put you into the jail, and even if you're out on bail now, and even for 20, 30 years, they will argue, you know, we're investigating. When I was there now, there's one person, he was charged in 1972, certain allegations were made. And until today, they haven't formally framed charges against him. There's no trial. And so what happens? Every month, he must come, for the last 30 years, he's coming every month to court to report his presence, because he's out on bail. But there's no charges are being framed against him. I'm challenging them now, bring me to trial. They have made the biggest blunder by arresting me. They've got absolutely not even a shred of evidence. They don't know what they must do now. Not only that, they are scared now that I might bring a massive lawsuit against them. That's at the back of their mind. So what they will do now? It carries on investigating. And again, going for years and years. You just every month you must go and report in the court. That's what they're doing. So the South African embassy, there isn't anything that they could really do to help him. And no one, in spite of many people must have tried, but there's nothing they could do. It's only me by filing orders again from the court. One thing I must say, although the entire Bangladesh, the whole civil system from the top to the bottom is corrupt, corrupt, corrupt. Everything, corruption is institutionalized there. But one thing I must say, the High Court and the Supreme Court judges in Bangladesh, oh, they are top people, clean people. They of the old stock. And the government is trying their best to get eliminated. And the government is trying, from Parliament, they're criticizing the High Court judges and the Supreme Court judges and accusing them of aiding the terrorists. From the papers, they're trying to remove these judges. So the judges are independent, judicially. Not the mayor, no, the magistrates' court are, you can say, they are department of the Home Affairs, Home Ministry,
yeah.
The magistrates' court. But the High Court and the Supreme Court judges are very fair. I've got great respect for them. Alhamdulillah, most of all of them, they perform the namaz regularly also. You see, all old people.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, the Musharraf, the coup leader,
yes.
He is a fan of Kemal Ataturk. He's a fan of Kemal Ataturk. Yes, publicly also he has stated that thing that he has read Kemal Ataturk's books, and Kemal Ataturk has done a lot of good for Turkey. So he wants to see what he can do for Pakistan.
Now, what's the solution to all this?
The solution, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given the solution. The solution is simple, but people don't follow the simple solution. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said, don't speak ill of the rulers. The rulers are a reflection of your amal. Rectify your deeds. You become good Muslims. Then Allah, the hearts of the rulers are in the between the two fingers of Allah Ta'ala. So if the Ummah reforms itself, then Allah Ta'ala, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah Ta'ala will either reform the rulers or he will remove the rulers and substitute them with just rulers. But as I say, the situation is extremely, the situation is very bleak for Muslims. Look what is happening in Chechnya presently. They have completely cut it off from the world. Brutally, they are saying, even the maternity hospitals, rocketed. So what is happening there? Everywhere. You may imagine that out of the 50, 60 Muslim countries, no one is even speaking. They can't even bark like toothless dogs. They can't. No one can assist any other Muslims, I think.
Mano, what is your present position as far as Bangladesh activities are concerned? Are you allowed to go freely then, can continue activities?
I'm allowed to go back. In fact, according to them, I'm compelled to go back, but after 3 months, I'm free, my activities are free, they think. But the thing is, Alhamdulillah, we have established an infrastructure there to ensure that the work carries on well, nicely.
Irrespective of
Malak. Yes. The work will, inshallah ta'ala, carry on, inshallah ta'ala. As long as Allah ta'ala wills that work to continue, and as long as our needs are pure, they won't be able to stop the work. Instead, I strong for Allah Ta'ala will remove the government and replace it with another just government, a better government.
At the time of your arrest, there was a rumor here that one person of Islam, Maulana Shaykh Islam, who hated it, was part and parcel of having you arrested.
Oh, I can't comment on that. Shaykh Islam is arrested now.
Yeah.
Shaykh Islam, he is arrested. Yeah, and along with him another about 5-6 from Markaz al-Islam arrested. I spoke to Mohan Sadi just now, half an hour before this. I spoke with him on telephone. See, they had him for, I think, 9 days on remand for Shaykh al-Islam. For 9 days, they had him in the remand cells, and after 9 days, they sent him to prison. Now they want to bring him back to him. They asked for another 5 days of remand. They to interrogate him further. They are trying to get him out of the jail, back into the remand cell for further interrogation. So, now Shaheed al-Islam has been arrested also because of ulama reports from there. There's another group of ulama there. I won't mention the name now, but there are another group of ulama. We have submitted now reports. I've read those reports also. And those reports came out, some of them in the press also, but I've read a letter which was sent by this group of ulama to the Home Minister, wherein they accuse, make certain allegations against Shahid al-Islam and further in the Qatim Nawi for Shahid al-Islam.
Sheikh Maulana is out in the raid now for a period of 3 months. Is the South African government compelled or obliged to return you after the extradition?
They can't. There's no extradition or the, between, agreement between South Africa and Bangladesh.
So that
they can't, they can't.
Wait, or they revert to Rinan and Boyd?
Yes, I mean, as far as the government, they can't do it. They can't compel me to go back if I don't want to go back.
And yes, Sathis Maulana, what is the position?
I don't know if I walk safe from here till then. After 3 months, what the situation is at that time? Oh, we don't know. Things change, happen so quickly, so anything.
Maulana Sajid, is he also free?
He's free, yeah, but he must get his passport, isn't it? He's making attempts to get his passport back. So I say, our destiny, everything is in Allah Ta'ala's hands. We don't know where we are going and when we are going, what...